1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. This message will go along with this morning's, but 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 20. Despise not prophesying. What we read here is part of a list of very short, direct, and specific commands that really form the basics for Christian living. We see these mentioned in verses 16 through verse 22. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. Again, these are very short and direct commands, very specific commands. In everything, give thanks. Quench not the spirit. Our text, despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from the appearance of evil. The subject of the verse that we read there, verse 20, is prophesying. Despise not prophesying. Or prophesying, despise not. In order to understand the meaning of this, notice Romans chapter 12, verse 6. Romans 12, verse 6. Paul here is speaking upon the subject of spiritual gifts. And in verse 6 he says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. So whatever gifts we have, it's by the grace of God. God has given us gifts by His grace. Our gifts differ. Our gifts differ in degree. Our gifts differ in type. But they're all by the grace of God. And then he goes on and he mentions a specific gift here in verse 6. He speaks of prophecy. Let us prophesy. That is, those who have the gift of prophecy, let them prophesy according to the proportion of faith. So we read here of the gift of prophecy. What is that? Well, it is a Holy Spirit given skill for the public proclamation of God's Word. In the Old Testament, prophets were preachers. Preachers are simply public proclaimers of God's message. And these prophets, over and over again, were commanded to prophesy. Good examples are found in the book of Jeremiah and the book of Ezekiel. Notice in Jeremiah chapter 19, again, we have prophets. They have the gift of prophecy. And they are to prophesy. In Jeremiah 19 and verse 14, we read of Jeremiah and we see the Lord had sent him to prophesy. The Lord had sent him to proclaim the word of God publicly or to preach. And he stood in the court of the Lord's house and we see that he spoke. In chapter 25, and verse 30, God speaking to Jeremiah the prophet says, prophesy, publicly declare my message against them, and say unto them, Jeremiah 26 and verse 12, about halfway down, we see Jeremiah says, the Lord sent me to prophesy. The Lord sent me to prophesy. Book of Ezekiel, chapter 34. Book of Ezekiel, chapter 34. And again, we read here of prophesying in verse 1. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them. So we have prophets, two in particular here, Jeremiah and Ezekiel. And they are commanded on many different occasions to prophesy or to preach. Ezekiel 35 and verses 1 and 2. We see that the word of the Lord came unto Ezekiel, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Mount Seir and prophesy, publicly declare my word against it. Chapter 36 and verse 3. Therefore prophesy and say. Then, of course, we get over to Ezekiel 37, and we see the valley of the dry bones. Ezekiel is asked the question, can these bones live? Ezekiel responds, Lord, thou knowest. And God then instructed him, prophesy, in verse 4, upon these bones. So, prophets in the Old Testament were those who the Holy Spirit had given the skill to publicly proclaim the Word of God. They were preachers. Same carries over into the New Testament. In the Old Testament, the prophets again were proclaimers of God's message. So prophesying was and is the public proclaiming and speaking of the message of God, not just by anybody, but by men who have been granted by the Holy Spirit the gift and the skill of doing so. So prophesying is the preaching of God's word. Preaching is proclamation. It is the public proclaiming of the word of God. Preaching is not give and take dialogue. Preaching is the proclamation of the word of God. Preaching is not forming and leading a discussion group. That's not preaching. Preaching is the public proclamation of the word of God. It is a God called, God appointed, God gifted, God sent, herald, if you will, declaring the message of a king to a people. That's prophecy. That's what it means to prophesy. Again, it is a God called, God appointed, God gifted. You know, I've seen and I've heard people say, well, so-and-so is called to preach, but he can't preach a lick. Well, he's not called then, because they're gifted. If God calls a man to preach, He gives him the ability to preach. And if a man does not have the ability to preach, he's not called to preach. It's very simple. So you have this God called, God appointed, God sent, God gifted man. And what he does is he opens the book, the Word of God, and he reproves, he rebukes, and he exhorts the people. This preaching of the Word of God, as we saw this morning, is the central task of the Lord's churches. It is the number one task of the Lord's churches. Nothing else is even on level ground. It is the central task of the churches of the Lord. When Jesus organized His church during His earthly ministry, He commissioned them. He said in Mark 16 and verse 15, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." So this preaching by God called, God appointed, God gifted, God sent men must never ever become secondary. It must never ever become a minor part of the task of the Lord's church. Now, our text says, despise not prophesying. Who is it that prophesies? It's a prophet. One who has the gift. Romans 12, verse 6. And he says, despise not prophesying. What he's saying is, do not under any circumstances make light of the preaching of God's word. Do not under any circumstances treat it in a frivolous manner. Do not under any circumstances neglect it or relegate it. Despise not prophesying. Now those words are a warning. They are a warning that we do not set at naught, that we do not think lightly of, that we do not set aside, that we do not treat in a frivolous manner or reject the preaching of God's word by, again, a prophet, a God called, God sent, God authorized, God gifted man of God. Despise not prophesying. Now this warning applies both to the preacher and to the hearer of God's word. Notice in the book of Haggai, chapter 1, book of Haggai, chapter 1, and we'll read verse 13. That is, if I ever find the book of Haggai. There it is. Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger. The Lord's messenger. What did he speak? He spoke the Lord's message. Can I possibly be the Lord's messenger if he does not speak the Lord's message? So we have the Lord's messenger. We have the Lord's message unto the people. We have the Lord's messenger. We have the people. And this warning, despise not prophesying, refers to both. It has application to both. Now, since the preaching ministry is the central task of the Lord's church, it is imperative that there be a proper attitude, both from the preacher's standpoint and from the hearer's standpoint, concerning the preaching of God's Word. So we want to speak this evening on a proper attitude toward the preaching of God's Word. First of all, this warning must be viewed in light of the importance of the preached Word of God. I believe every day that I realize the importance of preaching more and more and more every single day. Especially in a day when it seems like most are minimizing the importance and the significance of preaching. The importance and significance of preaching is seen in the place that is given to it throughout all Scripture. In the Old Testament, when God wanted to deliver a message to a king or a nation, what did he do? He raised up a prophet. And he gave that prophet the message that they were to preach. He not only gave them the message they were to preach, he gave them the ability to declare the message, to make known the message. In the New Testament, we're immediately introduced to John the Baptist. And what do we find John the Baptist doing? He is preaching. We are introduced to Jesus Christ. And in Mark 1, 38 and 39, and Mark 2 and verse 2, what do we find Jesus doing? We find him preaching. And again, when Jesus Christ organized his church, he gave them this mandate, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He told them in Matthew 10 and verse 7, and as ye go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And in Matthew 10 and verse 27, he says, what I tell thee in darkness, that is, what I tell thee in secret, that speak ye in the light, or that speak openly, and what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. Again, it is the public declaration, it is the public proclamation of the Word of God. By a God sent, God authorized, God gifted man. We read in Mark 16 in verse 20, following Christ's command that the church was to preach, we read that they went forth and preached. They went forth and preached. All through the book of Acts, which in your Bible is called the Acts or the steps, the measures, and the conduct of the apostles who were the church. So the book of Acts is the steps, the measures, and the conduct of the Lord's church. And what do we find them doing? All through the book of Acts, we find them preaching. We find them preaching everywhere. Notice in Acts chapter 8 and verse 1, we're told that there was a persecution. Because of this persecution, the church was scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria. They did not go into hiding, but in verse 4 it says, therefore they that were scattered abroad, that is of the church, went everywhere preaching the word. Verse 5 says, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Verse 25, and when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem and preached. They went, they preached, they returned, and they preached. Verse 35, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. When the church in Antioch sent out Paul and Barnabas as missionaries there in Acts chapter 13, what did Paul and Barnabas do? Everywhere they went, they preached. They didn't set up hospitals. They preached. Nothing wrong with setting up hospitals, but that is not the work of a missionary. That is a work. Preaching is the work of the church. We see in Acts 13 and verse 5, and when they were at Salamis, they preached. Now in verse 2, separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. And what was that work? To preach. So the church sends them forth, and they begin to preach. Acts 14, verses 6 and verse 7, they fled into Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lyconia, and unto the region that lieth round about, and there they preached the gospel. Verse 20 and 21, we see the same thing. They preached the gospel to that city. Verse 25, and when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down unto Attalia. You find in Mark, or in Acts chapter 17 and verse 18, you see Paul preaching to the educated individuals at Mars Hill. And then when we get over into Timothy, as we saw this morning, Paul instructed young Timothy, preach the word. Timothy, I know things are difficult. I know you're having many, many problems. Timothy, preach the word. This was a central task of the church. When God had a message for the seven churches of Asia, there in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, the message was delivered to the angel of the church, which is simply the messenger of the church. Each church had a messenger. Each church, if you will, had a prophet, a God called, a God sent, a God gifted, a God appointed man to declare the word of God. And when God had a message for that church, he gave it to the messenger. And then the messenger was responsible to deliver the message. Paul stated the extreme importance of a God-sent preacher. Notice in Romans chapter 10, verses 13 and verse 14, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And we see that God would call the preacher. And then we see in verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, hearing of the preached word, and hearing by the word of God. All through the Bible, we see the preaching of God's word. It was preached before kings. It was preached to rulers. It was preached to ordinary citizens. It was preached to peasants. It was preached to great intellects. And it was preached to the ignorant and the unlearned. It was preached to masters, and it was preached to slaves. It was preached to the Jew. It was preached to the Gentile. But everywhere they went, the Word of God was preached. This is the central task. The apostles, that first church, considered the ministry of the Word to be foremost. And they led the church to point others. Notice in Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6, verse 4. The apostle said, "We will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the Word." In order for us to do that, others were appointed to take care of other affairs in the church, because nothing must be allowed to take away from the preaching of God's Word. Nothing. Nothing at all. So our text says, despise not prophesying, because of the great importance of prophesying, because of the great importance of the preached Word of God, there is a warning given that you and I would not despise it, that we would not treat it in a frivolous manner. The warning is given because the possibility exists. That's the only reason you give a warning, is because a possibility exists. So the possibility exists amongst God's people, amongst the preachers, and amongst the hearers, that the preaching of God's Word would be despised. This warning must be viewed as applicable to the preacher of the Word of God. And I have preached this at one particular conference, and we're not going to go into great detail here, but the preacher is quite capable of treating in a frivolous manner his responsibility to preach the Word of God. Despise not prophesying. The God called, God appointed, God gifted, God sent preacher must take heed that he in no way sets at naught his responsibility to preach the Word of God. He must never think lightly of his responsibility to preach the Word of God. He must never treat it in a frivolous manner. The responsibility of preaching the Word, he must not despise, he must not treat in a frivolous manner. Now, this preacher of God's Word must realize that there is no higher calling. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 1, Paul said that he was an apostle by the commandment of God. He said in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 12 that the Lord put him into the ministry. He said in Ephesians 3 and verse 7, that he was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God. The preaching of the Word of God is not a job. It is not a career that one has chosen. You don't just decide, I need a job, I'm going to preach. I need to choose a career, I'm going to preach. Preaching is a calling. It is a calling of God. It is not even a profession. It is a passion. It is a fixation. It is an obsession. The one who has been called to preach, has been given the ability to preach, has a fixation and an obsession to preach God's word. Now, the awesome responsibility of proclaiming the message of God is something that the preacher always feels. And it is something that he cannot get away from. He can't get away from it. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse 16. You know, people say you go on vacation and you'll go somewhere where you won't preach. Well, it's my conviction, if I go on vacation, I'm going to be in one of the Lord's churches on the Lord's day. It's my conviction. Whether it's yours or not, that's your business. And most of the time, I'll be asked to preach. And I have a difficult time saying no. And here's why. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. It's an obsession. It's something I have to do. Necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. The called preacher of God feels that it is absolutely necessary that he preach the word of God. Now, this preacher must not ever think lightly or treat in a frivolous manner the privilege, the opportunity, and the responsibility of opening God's word and proclaiming it. That is serious business. When you take this book and a man stands before a congregation of preacher and proclaims what this book says, what a privilege! What an opportunity! But oh, what a responsibility. There is no greater responsibility on the face of the earth than to proclaim the word of God. Preaching being the central task of the church, the preacher is God called, he's God gifted, and he is sent to a church. And the central task of that church is to preach. And he is the one who has been called to do so. And he must not think lightly of it. He must not set it aside or treat it in a frivolous manner. And that includes the preparation for preaching. There are preachers who are guilty of despising prophesying because they think lightly of preparing to preach. It is something that they treat in a frivolous manner. The preacher is to be diligent in study. He is to be diligent in preparation. When we were in Kentucky, there was a particular preacher, he's still there, and he would brag that he did not study. because he believed when he got up in the pulpit that God would give him the message, and he would be glad to tell you that. And finally, one day I got tired of hearing it. I said, I can tell. It's very obvious that you don't study. It's very obvious that you do not prepare. And that is a despising of the responsibility to preach. The preacher is to be mentally and spiritually prepared every time he preaches. He must be mentally and spiritually prepared to do so. And he must take every precaution. He must do everything necessary to make sure that it is so. You see, preaching is not a hodgepodge of random thoughts. Preaching is through careful and diligent study. And because there is diligent and careful study, preaching is organized and it is orderly. And I challenge anybody to find anywhere in the Word of God a message that was preached that was just a bunch of hodgepodge, random thoughts. You will not find it. It is always organized and it is always very orderly with a very definite point. It drives me crazy to listen to someone preach for 45 minutes and I have no idea what their point was. And it wasn't because I wasn't listening. It was because they didn't prepare. They had no point. That is a despising of prophesying. You see, I believe that when people come to hear preaching, they should know. And I believe they have a right to expect that they are going to hear from a man, first of all, who is right with God. I have no desire to hear someone preach who is not right with God. You have the right to expect that they are right with God. You have the right to expect, and you should know that when you come to hear the preaching of God's Word, you are going to be listening to someone who has heard from God. They're to deliver God's message. They must hear something from God. You have a right to expect the individual that you are hearing preach that they have spent some time in the presence of God. That they have emptied themselves. And they are under the influence of the Spirit of God. So this warning, despise not prophesying, does have application to the preacher of God's Word. Not only in his preparation to preach, but in his actual preaching. It takes a lot longer to prepare than it does to preach. Now, he is to preach the Word of God faithfully. Faithfully. I believe he is to preach it very plainly. He is to preach it exactly. He is to preach it directly. And I believe, again, he is to preach it in an orderly fashion. And he is to do so with great seriousness. Through the years, I have had many say to me, "You're so serious when you preach. Lighten up. That's not going to happen. That's not going to happen." I am serious when I preach because I don't believe there's anything more serious than preaching God's word. If a doctor sits down and is going to talk to you about some deadly disease you have, do you want him to be serious or do you want him to be joking around? You want him to be serious. And we're talking something far more serious than a deadly disease. Preaching of God's word needs to be serious. I can joke around after I'm done preaching. I can joke around plenty. But I'm not about to when it's time to preach. Because I believe the word of it is a serious, serious matter. Now I realize that everybody's different. And I realize that some people tell jokes in order to relax. I can't tell jokes unless I am relaxed. And when I'm preaching, I'm not relaxed. Because it's a serious matter. It's to be preached with seriousness. It's to be preached with fervor. It's to be preached with enthusiasm. It's to be preached with conviction. Word of God needs no apology. It's to be preached with boldness. It's to be preached with courage. I can honestly say that I have never not preached a message that God has given me to preach because I was afraid. Well, I've been afraid many times, but it has not kept me from preaching what God gives. It's to be preached with courage. I believe it's to be preached carefully, with a sense of urgency. And it is to be preached confidently. Not confidence in ourselves, but confidence in the Word of God. To neglect these things, all of what we've mentioned, is to think lightly of the responsibility of preaching the Word of God. Preaching is not about keeping the attention of the listeners by entertaining antics and gimmicks. That's not preaching. That's treating preaching in a frivolous manner. Preaching is not about the preacher drawing attention to himself. That's treating lightly and in a frivolous manner preaching. Preaching is no nonsense. I believe that with all of my heart. It's no nonsense. It's nothing to joke about. Preaching the message of God, again, is a very serious matter. It is a matter of great consequence. It is a matter that is vital to the life of God's people. It is a matter that is vital to the well-being of the church. And therefore, it is never to be carried out in a lighthearted manner. It's serious business. Again, the preaching of God's word is a central task of the church. And it is imperative to the preaching ministry of the church that the preacher have a right attitude toward preaching. That brings us, we've already run out of time, that's okay. This warning also is viewed as applicable to the hearers of preaching. God's people should never take for granted the privilege, the opportunity, the blessing of hearing the preached word of God from a man that has been called of God and sent of God. That should never, ever be taken for granted. The opportunity to hear and the hearing of God's word preached from the man of God that God has sent and equipped. If God sends a church, his man, That makes everyone in that church responsible to hear. That makes everyone in that church accountable to hear. The members of the Lord's churches have a responsibility to encourage, to help, to assist in the preaching of God's word. To fail to do this is to despise prophesying. We encourage and help and assist the preaching of God's word by, first of all, earnestly praying for the preacher, praying for the preaching of God's word. Notice Ephesians 6, verse 19 and 20. Paul mentioned in verse 18 about prayer. He says, "And for me," that is, "pray for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel." Paul says, "Pray that I have the ability to speak." He then says, "Pray that I may do so boldly." And he prays, he asked for them to pray that he would be able to do so plainly, to make known the mystery. What is a mystery? A mystery is the unknown. To make known the unknown, to make it plain, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, and therein I may speak boldly. Twice he prays for boldness, or he asks for prayer for boldness. "As I ought to speak." There is a way to preach. "As I ought to speak." So the hearer is responsible to pray that God would give the preacher the message. The message of the hour. That God would give him the ability to preach the message. That God would give him the liberty to preach the message. This is to be done because of the importance, again, of preaching, and because preaching is the central task of the church. We encourage and help and assist the preaching of God's word, not only by praying, but by preparing. We've already seen that if the preacher is lazy in his preparation, he despises prophesying. And if the hearer is lazy in preparation, the same applies. There must be diligent preparing our hearts to receive what is preached. Again, the preaching ministry of the church is a central task. And there should be diligent and serious preparation on the preacher's part, and no less so on the hearer's part. There must be diligent preparation. Why? Because of the importance, and because this is the central task of the church. Once we have prayed, and once we have prepared our hearts to receive the message, that creates a thirst. Now the hearer is thirsty. They're hungry. They want to hear the message. Now there's excitement.
They're actually excited. I'm going to get to go to church today and hear God's message. I'm so excited.
There ought to be an excitement to hear the preaching of God's Word. People make plans to do all kinds of things and they get excited weeks before in anticipation of whatever it is that they have planned. That's how it ought to be every single time we assemble. There ought to be an excitement because I have prepared for this. I have prepared my heart to receive the Word of God. And I know the preacher has prepared. And I know that God has given him what he would have me to have. And if a church cannot know that a preacher has prepared a meal, prepared a feast, has prepared himself to preach God's word, you need to find someone who does that. Don't ever settle for a preacher who does not prepare. And do not come unprepared to hear. So there's an excitement. There's an eagerness. There's an anticipation for hearing the Word of God. Now let's be honest. As you look around today, there isn't much excitement when it's getting close to preaching time. There's some, but there's not much. There's not much eagerness. There's not much anticipation for hearing the Word of God. I can remember, Brother Mark Jr. and I have talked about this, but I can remember doing mission work, and just about everyone was newly saved, and all the excitement, the anticipation and the expectation when it came time for church. I miss that. I really do. That's not a criticism. But that's the way a newborn child of God is. They're excited. And we have a tendency through the years to lose that excitement. We encourage, help, and assist the preaching of God's Word by giving proper attention. This, of course, follows prayer and the preparation of our hearts. There should be intense concentration when the Word of God is preached. If you were to go to a seminar and someone is going to lecture on how to make millions in 2 weeks, most of us, of course, would know that was a scam. But a lot of people get excited about things like that. And they pay very, very, very close attention. There isn't anything that we ought to pay more attention to as far as hearing goes than the hearing of God's Word preached. Our concentration ought to be intense. We read in Luke 19 and 48 concerning the preaching of Christ that the people were very attentive to hear Him. They were very attentive to hear Him. So proper hearing involves praying, preparation. It involves personal reflection, personal examination, personal application, personal reception of the Word, and personal obedience to the Word. In each message that God delivered to the churches of Asia, seven of them, we read these words: "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches." Seven times God gave the message to the messenger, and seven times "he that hath an ear," that is a spiritual ear, "let him hear what the Spirit saith." Since the preaching of God's word is so very important, and it is the central task of the church, we must make sure that we have an ear to properly hear the word of God. God calls a man. God gifts that man, sends that man, gives that man a message, gives him the ability to preach that message. What a privilege. Anytime that we have to listen to the preaching of God's word. All of this, we've run out of time, but all of this is very vividly illustrated in Nehemiah chapter 8. Never underestimate the importance of preaching. That's why children need to learn at a very, very, very young age to sit still and listen. They need to be taught to listen to the preaching of God's word. Never underestimate the importance. Never underestimate the primary place of preaching. I can remember very well, many years ago, pastoring in Streamwood, several in the church wanted one Wednesday night out of every month for me to stand up and read missionary letters. I said, "You can read the missionary letters yourself." "Oh, we'd rather you read them." "Well, that'll be fine. And then afterward, we'll preach." Well, that's not what they wanted. They wanted that to replace the preaching of God's word. That's not going to happen. Preaching, again, if a church wants a preacher to read missionary letters, I guess that's their business. But it doesn't take away from the preaching of God's word. May we not be guilty, whether it be the preacher, whether it be the hearer, of making light of the preached word of God. That we never treat it in a frivolous manner. That we never neglect it. That we do not relegate the preaching of God's word. And as we live in the days in which we live, when truth is less and less and less proclaimed, and when error is more and more espoused, that's when God-called preachers need to speak the loudest. That's when they need to make it even more plain. Thus saith the Lord. In closing, several times, not just here, but every place I've ever pastored, people have said to me, and I've given this some thought, they have said to me, "Brother Dan, you give too much. We can't take it all in one service." You've missed the point. It's not just for this service. If that's all you've come for, it's just food for this 1 hour, you've missed it. You go to a restaurant and you brag if you go in and you take home enough food for another 2 or 3 days. You think it's wonderful. But people come to church and they get enough food to take home for 2 or 3 days. And, oh, this is horrible. That's what it's about. That's why we're to bring baskets and we're to fill our baskets and take our baskets home and feed upon the Word of God. It is true that you can't take it all in one service, but that's not what we're here for. We're not here to take it all in one service. We're taking it home with us. Listen to it at home. Review it. Feed upon it all week long. What a blessing that you and I have. What a blessing that I have to preach the Word of God. What an awesome responsibility to preach God's Word. And the preacher will give an account. I have been told through the years what to preach. I have been told how to preach. I preach what God gives me, and that's all there is to it. But what an awesome responsibility. And I will give an account for what I preach. I'll give an account how I preach. I'll give an account. And we'll give an account on our attitude when we hear, when we listen to preaching. I don't have trouble listening to preaching.